My message on this wonderful occasion will come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, and I'll be focusing my remarks mainly on verse 32. If you have a Bible, they're in the pews there. If you'd like to follow along, it would be help. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. This is God's inerrant, perfect, unchangeable, everlasting, beautiful, glorious, amazing, life-giving, transforming Word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy, without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's pray to God and ask His help. Father, we praise You for Your Word that is true, it is good. Lord, that You have told us all that we need to know about marriage in Your Word. And God, we praise You that marriage is mainly about You and is a picture of Jesus and His beautiful blood-bought bride. And so, Father, as we come to meditate upon this Scripture briefly, we pray that Your Spirit would be upon us, among us, in us, convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment, amazing us afresh with the gospel of Christ, saving where salvation is needed, convicting where conviction is needed, encouraging and building up and instructing, Lord, where instruction is needed. So come, O God, and be with us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wonder if you ever noticed that the Bible begins and ends with a wedding, with a marriage. Opens up with a marriage and ends with a marriage. The Bible is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ as He comes to win His bride. It is the love story of all love stories. It is the romance of all romances we have for us played out in Scripture. Jonathan Edwards, the theologian, pastor, said that God created the world to get a bride for His Son. I love that description of the reason for creation, that God would get a bride for His Son. So we're going to start there with God. God created everything. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man in His own image, male and female. He created man, and He commanded man to trust Him and to obey Him in everything. And God presents Himself to us in Scripture as the great lover, warrior, husband. So Isaiah 54, verse 5, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts is His name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth He is called." So God presents Himself to His people as husband, as husband, as lover, as king. And so it's God who's speaking to us today. Anthony and Kimberly, it's God who is speaking to you today. It is God who is saying, Kimberly, submit to Anthony. Respect Anthony. And God reiterates this in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. I love this exhortation to wives and wives-to-be. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. I love that description of the godly woman. She doesn't fear anything that's frightening. Things that ought to make us tremble and fear and run away, she doesn't fear. She trusts God. And Anthony, God is speaking to you. Love Kimberly as Christ loves the church. What an order. What an order that is. Love this woman as Jesus loved His bride. Jesus, who came to His bride and was rejected by her and spit upon by her and beaten by her beyond human recognition and nailed up to a tree by her and scoffed and mocked by her and ridiculed by her. He loved her still. He died for her. He gave His life for her. He got on His knees and washed her dirty feet, remember John 13, and served her. That's the order for all husbands. If you're here this afternoon and you're married, that's God's command, you to love and serve your wife just as Jesus loved and served the church. 1 Peter 3, 7 goes on to say, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And so the relationship that you enter into now will have an effect on how your relationship goes with God, even so that if you don't love her and serve her well, your prayers are hindered, God's Word says. And so that's God's Word to you today. How did our first parents, Adam and Eve, do in obeying commands like this? How did they do? God made Adam and Eve and all men to trust and love and obey Him and serve Him and love one another and sacrifice for one another and deny themselves to serve the other. And yet we know something has gone terribly wrong. Something in the world has gone terribly wrong. And what's wrong with the world is you. Amen. Is you. Amen. And me. One time, a British newspaper sent out all these questions to these great minds and philosophers and theologians. What is wrong with the world? All the killing and slaughter and bloodshed and violence. What is wrong with the world? And G.K. Chesterton simply wrote back, "Dear sir, I am." Signed, G.K. Chesterton. We're what's wrong with the world. Pastor Joseph is what's wrong with the world. We have all sinned against a holy and good God. Just like our first parents, we have broken God's law. And so the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so God has given us this beautiful gift of sex and marriage to be enjoyed and delighted in, only in marriage. And yet we've said, no, God, I'll have sex with who I want, when I want, how I want, how much as I want, married or not, I'll do what I want. And God says, no, no, sex is for one place, marriage. That's it. A covenant between a man and a woman to live and love and care for one another until death parts them. That's God's law. That's God's word. And we've broken God's law. We've broken God's law in sexuality just by looking. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. We've broken God's law that way. I'm an adulterer. I'm an adulterer. We've broken God's law in manifold ways, in our anger, in our failure to be committed to a faithful local church where we submit to the leadership and commit to be there week in and week out to worship God and love His people. We've broken God's law by not living out the words of that amazing song we opened with, "All I have is Christ." Christ has not been our greatest joy. He's not been our greatest delight, our greatest treasure. We've delighted in other things more than God. And God says, I must be first. Christ says, I must be your first love. And so we've all sinned against God. And friends, this is the storyline of the Bible. That God loves this bride, but she rejects Him over and over and over again. Adam and Eve rejected Him in the garden. And then you see the life of Israel, and God says, I will be a husband to my people Israel. And on their honeymoon, on their wedding night, do you remember what Israel did when God gave them the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai? They were making a golden calf and worshiping another god. They were committing adultery on their wedding night. Can you imagine that? That's how God's people treat Him. And God addresses this over and over again through the prophets, like the prophet Hosea 9 verse 1. Rejoice not, O Israel, exalt not like the peoples, for you have played the whore, forsaking your God. You see, God even uses that sexual language of how His people have been unfaithful to Him. Friends and family here today, Christ will not be glorious to you unless you realize this bad news about yourself first. He will not be precious to you until you see that you have sinned against a holy and a good God by what you have done and by what you have left undone, by what you have thought and by what you have not thought, by the way you've lived your lives in rebellion against God. If you're here this afternoon and you're not a believer in Jesus. And so I come here on behalf of Anthony and Kimberly. Anthony, who I met at the ShopRite, giving out information about what it means to be a man according to the Bible. And he loved to hear about that. And after that, we were together. He wants you to hear this. We want you to hear this because we love you. We love you. And so we're in a bad problem right now in the sermon. We're condemned. We deserve God's wrath and judgment for our sin in hell forever and ever and ever. Without escape. Without pardon. Without mercy. But there's good news. There's good news about a warrior, husband, lover, king who came down into this mess that we've made. And unlike us who sinned against God, He lived a perfectly righteous and obedient life in every thought, in every word, in every deed, in every action. Jesus Christ, the God-man, fully God, fully man, He came to get His woman. He came to get His bride. When I was recently in Africa, there was a professor I heard about that summed up the Bible like this. Jesus came to slay the dragon and get the woman. That's what the Bible's about. Amen. He came to slay the dragon and get the woman. Amen. And so Jesus has come. And as He came into this world, He's called the bridegroom. So in the Old Testament, Yahweh God is the husband. In the New Testament, Jesus is the husband. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is Jehovah. John the Baptist called him in John 3:29, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. And Jesus came down, as I said, to His bride, His own people, and they rejected Him. They rejected Him. She played really hard to get. Really hard to get. He had to pursue her, and she killed Him. She killed Him. He died on the cross. And on the cross, He was the substitute for sinners. He was bearing the very wrath and judgment and curse of God that sinners like you and I deserve for our sin, so that we wouldn't have to bear that punishment. 1 John 4:10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means anger-removing sacrifice. And so Jesus on the cross was bearing the punishment that sinners deserve. The very wrath and judgment of God. He swallowed it whole. And then He spit it out and rose up from the dead. He's alive. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He rose up from the dead. As Shaolin says, Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. Jesus is alive. A dead prophet won't save you. You need a living Savior. And so He is risen. And He calls now everyone everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. Friends, do you know this bridegroom Jesus? Do you know Him? Do you know my King? He calls you to turn from your sins and believe in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, no matter what you've done, no matter how many sins you've committed, no matter how promiscuously sinful you have been, whatever's in your past, you believe in Jesus, washed clean, white as snow, no more sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed your transgressions from you. Friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus. And Anthony and Kimberly, this is your hope in marriage. This is your hope that you must come back to over and over again, because this is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God that will enable you, Kimberly, to submit and respect Anthony. This is the power of God that will enable you, Anthony, to love her and lay your life down for her as Christ loved the church. And this is your hope when you fail. There's a book for married couples called When Sinners Say I Do. And when two sinners get together and live together, guess what? They sin against each other. And so your hope when you sin against Kimberly, and Kimberly, your hope when you sin against Anthony, is that this gospel, that you come back to this over and over again, and that you work and labor to point one another back to Jesus and back to the gospel. And this is what you have to look forward to as your hope, that your bridegroom will return someday to get you and take you to be with Him forever. And so the Bible, remember, ends with a wedding. And this is our great hope. We look forward to our bridegroom. Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. The bride is the church. And she's making herself ready. And in Revelation 21:4, it says, He will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And so we look forward to our returning lover, warrior, king. And that empowers us to live now for His glory. Anthony, this is for you. To look to your King. That's my King, who never leaves, but to His bride forever cleaves, and all who trust Him He receives. We long for love that will not end, therefore our God His Son would send. To win a bride He did descend, yet she against Him did offend, but He still loved her hate suspend. Before her He would condescend, and on that cross His life would end. Then from the grave He did ascend. If you'll trust on Him depend, He'll save you now and be your friend. He'll give you love that will not end, but forevermore extend. Forever at His side you'll spend. He gives you joy that will transcend His love you cannot comprehend. O love that will not let me go, deep from His heart great mercies flow. For through His love and grace we grow, when all on Him our hopes we throw. He makes our sin as white as snow. On us great favor He'll bestow. If we're humble, meek and low, He saves us from the hell below. All because our God we know, He'll make our face shine bright with glow. It's God who joins. Oh, this is sweet. He loves you so and won't mistreat. If a spouse you hope to meet, the wait for you is long with heat, you can be sure God will replete your deepest needs. He'll more than meet. So bow to Him, trust at His feet. He satisfies more than any sheet. And then someday on Golden Street, you'll know in Him you are complete. That's my King. Do you know Him? Christ is God who wrote the law, so Moses bows to Him in awe. Hardness of heart we fight and claw. This kills marriage. Lovers withdraw. You walk away. It's the last straw. But in all this, there's a great flaw. There's no submission. Christ is all. What Jesus said will drop your jaw. No divorce. No divorce in His good law. So bow to Him, and you won't fall. From your spouse, you can't withdraw. What God has joined, let no man break. The two are one, our God did make. With joy, our Christ in love did take. A bride to keep and not forsake. And since all marriage in His wake points to this truth, make no mistake, we stay together for His sake. For His glory is what's at stake. But you, He never will forsake. If you failed, if you're here today and you failed to live up to this, I have good news for you. If you've failed at this high call, there is a Savior. Christ is all. He died to save you from your fall and heal you from the bitter gall. So in His name, for mercy, call. He'll take your sins, both big and small, and cast them down to never recall. He'll give new life and make you stand tall in the gospel. That's your calling, to do so, to do this marriage in Christ, in the power of Christ, focus on Christ, for the glory of Christ. And so when it gets hard, when it gets really hard and you want to leave, you remember Him. You remember Him crying on that cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You remember what He did and what He underwent. And you trust Him. You stick it out. You hope in Him. Let's pray. Father, we praise You for our great King Jesus. Oh Lord, what a glorious Bridegroom we have, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. God, we praise You for Him. We praise You for what He's done. We praise You for what He's going to do. We can't wait till He comes back. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Father, we pray that You would apply this word to our hearts. Apply it to Anthony and Kimberly. Apply it to everyone who is here today. Lord, encourage the downcast. Lift up the weak. Convict sinners. Save souls. Glorify Your name. Through Your word, we pray. For Jesus' sake, and all God's people said, Amen.